gets so much better when you have long time. And, God doesn't call us into any more than what we can teach. He always calls us into a place that's bigger than what we currently are and we have to grow. So, Lord, I would just come and just put that peace in your heart. Too much for him on his own, that he has to lay on you. But Lord, you are bigger than us. You are bigger than he. But you have him, and you love him, so you never put him in a situation where he can't go on without you. So can you just go to the Lord in that place, in this process? Would you just pray God's presence into that place? Would you prepare the way of God, putting on the armor that God has given you, and preparing the way with just prayer, and knowing that God is by your side 100% of the way. Jesus is standing right next to you, leading you and leading that class. And then you'll see devastation of hurt. So Lord, just feel peace right now. Would you just take that candle and make it longer, Lord, that it would burn longer.
Till I live. Barn is a part of a great organisation that helps to establish God's goodness. I don't want to take too much away. I'll let him explain. In places where there's poverty, to bring hope and sustainability, and obviously the good news of Jesus Christ, but to build into people's lives substance that just wasn't there before, and they do wonderful things. So let's watch this, and then Ty will come and introduce In Barn. Thanks.
For your mercy never fails me all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, of the goodness of God.
So Pak Inban is going to come and share. So Pak Inban is basically a reference to respect. So it's Bapa Inban. Bapa Inban, the best way to describe Bapa Inban is basically his heart is sold out to God. He's a disciple of Christ who make disciple. He just hang out in the presence of God and just bring the good news. And he's very, very adventurous and bold and courageous. He will go places that most of us were like, So, Bapa Inban, please come.
Thank you so much. I consider it a real privilege to be here because I feel every place, wherever God would lead me, There's a divine purpose. Nothing happens by chance or coincidence. You are here by divine appointment. And each one of you have been handpicked, chosen specially. And God has a special anointing. That anointing, to us, it may seem supernatural, but it's natural to God. And where He has placed you, and what He has for you, is something uniquely for you to fulfill it. And often it is not the devil that trips us up. It's not the governments or the environment that trips us up. It's us ourselves, because we sometimes don't realize our position in Christ, our place in Christ. And today I want to talk about really the whole area of transformation. God is giving us the keys, and He has given us all the power and authority to transform communities, because He said, last words are very important words of our Savior. Go and make disciples of nations. And that's our passion, that's our desire, passion for God, because you can't possibly have compassion for people without a passion for God. It's only the love of God, it's only the passion that comes from God enables us. And so, actually, in many ways, thank you, Joe, for the kind introduction. Actually, I'll be the first to acknowledge I'm a very big coward. You know, I don't like a lot of things in life, but I just feel that when you flow with God, He enables. And when He enables, He gives you the best in every circumstances. It's just that we are so afraid, because the world has more or less, I call this the Babylonian system. We have unconsciously bought into the Babylonian system, which tells us that we must live and order our life in a certain way. And so we are limited to the natural realm and to the Babylonian system of how we should behave and live our lives. But I believe the pandemic was an eye-opener for us. Firstly, I felt that it was a time to restore the home and the family as a place of worship, as a place of coming together. If you remember Malachi, the last words, and in Luke, as soon as Jesus, before Jesus comes into the scene, one scripture is repeated, you know, I will restore the fathers to the children and children. And He says, if this is not done, the land is under a curse. And one of the things that I want to emphasize today is that God is in the business of restoring families, hurting families, broken families, disappointed families, families who may think that, you know, their time is over, but with God, you know, three things we are limited by, God is not. That is time, matter, and space. The very first verse in the scripture of Genesis chapter 1 is, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. There are three elements that God created. He created the time, He created the matter, and He created the space. We are limited by that in the physical sense, but God is not limited. And He who He is in us is greater than anything and everything else in the world. And God is able to do far more exceedingly than our minds can possibly comprehend. So one of the things we need to really do is realign, as I think Marie rightly prayed. You know, I thought, like I said, a big amen if you heard that, because that's what we need to do. We need to really realign. And that's something for me, it's a daily, daily exercise and a conscious decision to realign my body, mind, and spirit with the Word of God. So would you join me in prayer? As we claim tonight, today, God's promises for us, and that we may operate in the way that God desires for us as His disciples, not just as a believer, because the Bible says even the devil believes, but we want to move beyond being a believer to be a disciple. A disciple is one who is a learner follower. The more he follows Jesus, the more he wants to learn about himself. There's this unquenchable thirst within him, but the minute he drinks of Jesus, he feels even more thirsty. It's an ironical thing. You know, you can never quench this, because the more you have passion for God, there's going to be a greater thirst and hunger for God. And that's what God is raising up, that this church will not only speak prophetically, they will hear prophetically and speak prophetically, but they will also act apostolically. Can you say amen to that? It's not just about hearing from God and understanding His word, but we need to speak it out, proclaim it, declare it to the ends of the earth, and we have to act apostolically. These two things have been, over the years, very much neglected. rejected by many, many mainline churches, unfortunately, because we are so focused on pastoring, focused on teaching and a little bit of evangelism. But this is something during the pandemic the Lord has been restoring to many, many fellowships to begin to speak prophetically into circumstances and situations and to see His kingdom come, His will be done on earth from His word and by His Spirit, and to act apostolically. This is the time we cannot afford to be passive. The best way of defense is attack. Go to your enemy and tell him, this is my Father's heritage for mankind and for me. And you need to take hold of it. You cannot say, I will wait till they come to my place. And that is why the church's response often has been very weak. We wait for the trouble and the problems to have come to our place. Then we are all the time trying to, you know, defend ourselves and come up with ideas and thoughts. It's too late. We now need to go on our faces and ask the Lord, Lord, what is your strategy? What is it that you want me to speak? Where do you want me to go? And how do you want me to take this place for you? That is basically what God wants us to do. So will you join me in prayer? Father, in Jesus' name and the only name that is above every other name, we claim every promises in your word. Your word is truth. Your word is alive. Your word sets us free from the past bondages and enables us to live for the present and hope for the future, the Lord, that this world will be transformed by your word and your spirit. Lord, we stand on your promises, not what the world's agenda or what others have to say, but what your word has to say. So this evening, we claim every word that has been spoken, Lord, into our heart and spirit. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable. Speak through this lips of clay. Lord, help us, Lord, and help me to think through me, Lord. And most of all, let all our hearts beat with yours, that we may take home your passion, the passion for you and the compassion for others. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a portion of scripture. But first of all, to establish, the Bible says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And whenever God says, he doesn't, you know, say things just for the fun of it. He's very sharp and precise in his word. And he's saying, the harvest is plentiful, but where are my laborers? Where are the people who know me, who have experienced me, and who have enjoyed me? Where are they? And that was basically the question which we should be asking. If the harvest is plentiful, do you think Jesus is kidding about us? Or he's saying, oh, actually, I'm just trying to make them feel good. But actually, they're all hard-hearted. No, actually, when you go into the field, you will be surprised when you begin to flow with God. God enables and opens doors and insights into very many circumstances and hearts of people that you have never seen before. And this is what the scripture says. And I want to share from Isaiah. And it says, first of all, from Luke chapter 10, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And one of the things that we as a church should start praying is that God will raise up an army of people, not to start with from their own homes, in their workplace, in their community, and to the ends of the earth. And that is the great commission after the first commission of Jesus, is that wait to be empowered before I send you out into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that is God's plan for all of us. You know, my father had 9 children. We all are in different continents because my father never believed in family planning anyway. He believed whatever God gives, I will take. And that's it. I'm number 7. And today, I'm 71 years old. And I believe passionately that there's no such thing as retirement. There's only different seasons in our life. The Bible only speaks about different seasons. And if you think that you're here to be retired, to sit back and relax and enjoy the Lord's presence and live Sunday by Sunday, you're going to be shaken today. God has a plan for you. God has something far greater than what you think. You're not going to just sit back there and say, oh, I will live my life, que sera, sera, whatever will be. God has something bigger than that. And so, When my sisters, I have a sister in Australia, in Brisbane, one in USA, one in Canada, my elder sister is in Malaysia, I'm in Indonesia, we're all over the place because my father took the message literally, we'll go into the world to the ends of the earth. So he made sure that all of us went and he imparted and he inculcated in us that all of us left our home and our countries and went to different parts of the world. And one of the things that we do know, all my family, my siblings, they all are serving God in their own way, in their own capacity, in their community. But one of the things that we need to do is that we've got to stop thinking of this side of eternity as a permanent arrangement. It's only a temporal arrangement, but we are really laying up and preparing for what is to come in the future. And I believe the fellowships that are going to rise up, it's not the big or loud or charismatic. I know, like what our worship song leader said, let God be God. Just be God and allow Him to be God. And don't reduce Him to you, to your level, and limit Him to your level. Let Him be God. Let Him go and let Him be free to do what He wants in your life. He wants to give you that freedom to move in the Spirit and the things of God. And that is our choice. Nobody can stop us. The only person who can stop what God wants to do in your life is you. And so I want to read the scripture, and this is what is true of a natural sense, it's true in the spiritual sense, and it's true of each of our individual lives. And if you were to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, and I'm going to read from verse 15, I am the Lord, and I'll just go through these verses quickly, I'll just very quickly say some things about it. I am is already from the start he has established with Moses, the very first encounter with man. He says, I am. God is not governed by the past, present, or future. He's not bound by time. You know? But God is far be great, greater than time itself. And he says, the Lord. Every word that the scripture speaks, everything that God says, has got such powerful meaning. God, when he says, I am, he talks about the present continuous. He says, the Lord. The Lord is one who is Lord over our lives. He just doesn't want us to have Him as a Savior. He wants us to have Him as His Lord. A lot of us are very happy to have Him as our Savior because it's like an insurance policy. As long as I make it to heaven, it's okay. There are other things that are not important. But God wants to be the Lord. And you cannot, in the same sentence, say, no, Lord. Can you? You cannot say, no, Lord. He's not your Lord if you say no. A lot of us say that every day when God says, I want you to do this for me. Step out in faith and believe me for this. We say, no, Lord. He's not Lord anymore when you say no. And often, you know, sometimes, you know what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you can believe a truth but practice a lie. I will pray and say to the Lord, Lord, please, don't let it rain, Lord, because I've got such an important event today. And I'll leave my house carrying an umbrella. So we can believe a lot of things in our life, but in our practice and our beliefs, we can totally disregard Him. And that's why I believe we need to consciously, if we are going to take God at His word, if He's the Lord, we got to align our mind, our body, and our spirit in line with God's word. If He says, I am, it settles it. I don't care what the theologians think. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care whoever wants to reduce it and deduce it and dissect it or do whatever they want to do. I don't care. It settles it for me. He is the Lord. He is your Lord. He is my Lord. And it says here further, as you go on, it says, and this is what he says, he who made the way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. And he talks about the past from a present continuous sense of who he is, he talks about the past, who drew out the chariots and horses, the mighty and reinforcements together, and there lay, never to rise again, extinguished, stuffed out like a wig. And this is what God is reminding us. When you came to Christ, He did something so transformational in your life, you don't even, may not have even realized it. When you said yes to the Lord, there was such a transformation of life. And that is why if you want to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, you can't talk to them mind to mind, not knowledge to knowledge. It has to be heart to heart, spirit to spirit. If you want to win a radical jihadist, you can't change him you know, in terms of his radical thinking. You have to change his heart. And when you change his heart, his actions will also change. If you can talk to him rationally, and even if you can make sense, he may not necessarily change. So academia is good. Academic gives us a lot of knowledge, but it doesn't necessarily change our heart. We can go into Bible school after Bible school and have full of knowledge, but if we don't have a personal encounter and receive Christ and allow him to be the Lord of our lives, we will have a full of knowledge and we can quote scriptures. And by the way, the devil quoted scripture to Jesus in the wilderness too. So anybody can quote scriptures. But the transformation comes when the word becomes root in our lives. It takes roots, and eventually out of the roots, a tree and fruitfulness will come forth. And God wants that so much in all of our lives. As I told you, there's nothing special. I'm not a very smart person. I'm not a very charismatic person. And Jeff knows, you know, Jeff is my mentor and we have been friends for many, many years. I'm not an eloquent person, but I just go with whatever God says. So says, can you preach? I said, Lord, if that's you, fine, I'm doing it. I don't care, whatever it is, I'll be there, I'll do it. If it's not from you, just close the door. So even if yesterday, if Toad would have told me, hey, there's not going to be any preaching, I'm sorry, we'll cancel it, I'll accept it because I know whatever God opens, nobody can shut. Whatever he closes, nobody can open. With that confidence. And God is saying, not only is he God of the past, you may have experienced something many years ago. I talk to so many Christians who all the time tell me, you know, when I was baptized, I experienced this. I've experienced God 20 years ago. But I want to ask you, what is your experience with God today, this morning? What did he tell you? A lot of my friends love to cut and paste. You know, cut and paste Christians? They like to quote from this person, that person. They will cut and send it to you and paste. And I have so many of my friends who are mentors, until I had to tell them one day, look, I love to hear from you, and I love to read all this, but I'm more interested in what God is saying to you. You are the fifth gospel to your community, and I want to know what God is saying to you. That's far more important than what Smith Wigglesworth says, or Reinhold Bonnke said, or Billy Graham said. They are good. During their time, they were relevant and needed. Until today, we respect and honor them. But I'm interested, what is God saying to Jeffrey? What's God saying to Toe? What's God saying to Murray? What's God saying to me? Is he relevant to you or not? Or is he a God of history? And that is why we have institutions, because we live in the past. We build institutions based on the past. God is not current. He lives of the years of the past. And God doesn't want us to take this into the mission field. Believe me, my friends, they have enough of all this. When, you know, I was telling Jeffrey just the other day, when I went to the mission field, you would think God would be very pleased and he'll stroke me and say, oh, my son, I'm so pleased with you. But do you know, the Lord rebuked me. And I learned the scripture by heart because he spoke to me during my fast and pray. He says, you travel land and sea just to see one convert, only to make him twice the son of hell as yourself. How would you like to be welcomed to the mission field like that? Because I was 10 years as a pastor in a mainline denomination. I went through Bible school 5 years. I thought I knew it all. And the Lord was saying to me three things you must be careful which will trip you. Your experience, your expertise, and your education. Because you think you know it all, and you don't need God, and because you have experience, you have got the expertise. But God is doing something new. Yeah. He's not the God of just the past who does mundane and routine, like all of us, we're quite contented with mundane. God is doing something new. Are you keeping up with him? Yeah. If you're not keeping up with him, then you are just going to live on a denominational or a kind of a routine thing. And I've just been told my time is almost half, so I'm going to quickly go through. But I want you to see. Oh, okay, right. Thank you. Thanks for the 10 minutes of grace. Yeah. All right. So the thing is that God is saying, he was the God of the past because he's the great I am. But he's doing something new. And this, the next scripture says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you see? Do you see it? Or do you not say, oh, this is it. This is the way it is, it will be, and there's nothing going to change. You know, The mainline church that I come from, we always end the prayer as it was in the beginning. It's now and ever shall be, forever and ever. Amen. Nothing changes. It goes on and on and on. But nothing changes. But God is saying to us, no, I'm moving. Move with me. It's outside of the box, not necessarily inside the box. I'm not saying God doesn't work inside the box. He does. But He works outside of the box. And sometimes He wants you to throw away the box. You don't need a box because God is bigger than any box. And He says, it's a new day and He's doing a new thing. Do you see that in your life? What is God doing in your life that is uniquely to you? Don't compare yourself with other people. You're not called to be somebody else. You're called to be you in Christ, positioned, secure, safe as a son and a daughter of Christ. To them that believe in Him, in John it says, to them that believe, so much as believe in Him, He gave them power to be sons and daughters of God. You have a power which is a dunamis power, and dynamo power. That's another sermon altogether, what dynamis do and what dynamo does in our lives daily. He gives us this power. And it goes on to say, if you have your scriptures, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God is transforming things, every strata of society. You know, the world and about our faith is not just in these four walls. God is transforming your community, your workplace. Wherever you step foot upon, God desires to transform. And that's why I say, wherever you go, you must go with attitude that I'm taking this place which is rightfully my place. I'm not called to be the tail or the belly, but to be the head. God is wanting us to go into places and recognize our place and position. The sad thing is that the principalities and powers, when we walk into the room, know what we have, but we don't know. And we rather choose to live a very passive, quiet life. We don't stand up for truth. We don't stand up for justice. We don't speak up when the need to speak up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying we must be all the time speaking, as Francis of Assisi says, preach the word, use words only when necessary. Our preaching of life is our whole lifestyle, attitude. We bring the presence of God. So in the missionary sense, there's no such word as missionary, anyway, in the Bible. Missionaries are actually equally, basically, apostles who are sent out. Apostle is one of the giftings among the fivefold ministry. It's nothing special. It's just like a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher or a prophet is an apostle. Some of us are here, probably apostles, doing pioneering work. The sister who said, that's really pioneering. That's apostolic. Going into places, starting something. Something new, something different. But that is what God wants to do, is to raise you up. And it's 10 minutes, please tell me. You know, that's what God wants to do. You know, one of the things, my problem is that I can't stop talking. So my friend told me, when you come, I have to remove my clock and turn it into a calendar. So you got to keep telling me, checking me, all right? Okay. So he's doing a new thing. And he's going into places that most people don't want to go, or people in their mindset says, forget it. It's not going to work in this place. One of the biggest obstacles and fears we have is against the Muslim brethren, Muslim communities, or people who are down and out, who we think, they cannot be rich. It's just impossible. Those who are mentally sick, those who are, you know, in some way or another, way beyond our human limitations. And I'm not saying that we have no limitation. But God has no limitations. And that's what I want to say. I have a friend in Sumba. He's a doctor. He gave up his practice in Surabaya. He serves 150 patients who are mentally sick. And they're all put in cages in different places. And they are, you know, in shackles. And he's a GP. He doesn't know what to do. But he knows that God wants him to minister to these mentally sick people. And so we sometimes when I'm there, we partner. He gives the medicine. I pray for them. And all he does is that he takes videos of them, symptoms of them, talks to them, and he sends it to his psychiatrist friend in Surabaya. And he says, okay, you just get this medicine. Many have been healed and restored. God has restored them and healed them. And some are in the process. You see, things which are so difficult is what God sometimes, which we think is supernatural, is natural to God. When I went to Indonesia, I thought there's a lot of things I'm not able to do because I'm not by nature very skillful or someone who has got lots of giftings. But I just sense that, Lord, if you send me there, there must be a purpose because you said wherever I put my feet upon, that will be the place of my inheritance. So wherever you send me, I will go. And wherever you place me, I want to see you at work. That's why we don't believe in contextual Christians. We believe in incarnational Christians. Jesus was incarnate, and he is incarnate in you. He is in your life. Wherever you go, you bring his presence. So actually, the church never sleeps. The church is in every strata of society. Wherever all of you after this go, you bring church with you. You bring the presence of God with you. You bring his incarnate, the total essence of the God, the Godhead with you. And God says, And so he says, finally, even the wild animals honor me, and jackals and the ox owls, because I provide water in the stream, desert, and streams in the wasteland. This video you saw, the land was totally parched land. It was volcanic rock. Nothing could grow on that. But all we did was we did prayer walk, and we got a group of Christians, and we sought the Lord. And the Lord said, this is the poorest of the poorest place. I want you to work with the Christians there. And we just started very simply digging a well, because they didn't even have water, no electricity. So I went and told them, I will dig the well, you get the electricity from your government. They've been trying for 3 years, they never got it. Nothing happened. So I just told them, you tell them simply that people who are helping us with the well, we need electricity. If you don't give us electricity, you'll see the results of it in the next election. 2 months, they got electricity in there. After 3 years, all they said, I said, don't fight, don't argue, don't demonstrate. Just tell the leader, it's okay if you don't do it, but you'll see the results in the next election. How did it happen so magically? Such short time, electricity was restored, water was this thing. From 2 crops, which was, you know, basically corn and rice, today they have 32 different types of crops. And they are no more in poverty. They're helping other villages. They're sustainable. And they want to expand and they keep going. And this is only God's work. Nobody, what can a city boy like me, how can a city boy like me possibly do anything like this? No way. Nothing to do with me or my organization. It is God's transformational act. Because our incarnational presence, we brought Christ into that community. And you are called to bring Christ's presence into wherever you go. Even as you leave this place, wherever you go, into a shopping center, into your family, maybe among your family who may not never believe in Jesus, but you are the incarnate presence. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'd like to just close with this. Somebody wrote this, which I want to share with in closing. He said, if I may read, I don't know who is the actual writer, but this is what he says. Don't gather around the name of Jesus while ignoring the ways of Jesus. Love God above all. Love your neighbor. Remember the poor. Feed the hungry. Welcome the stranger. Deliver the oppressed. Care for the sick. Visit the prisoner. Empower the marginalized. And Jesus waits for you there. Think about it for a moment. Okay? I want to say I'm so blessed by the young people. I love you guys, you know. And I look at you, I say, God, what a great hope we have when we see young people out here, sitting here, serving, worshiping you. So I just want to say that is to affirm you. God is not a respecter of age. God has no grandchildren. He has only children. Your parents are his children. Your grandparents are his children. You are his children. And your children will be his children. God has no hierarchy in his. You are as equally precious and important to him as anybody else. And so I want to say that this is special anointing because you are living in very challenging times. And as what Brother Toh said, there's a young man who God is raising up. And I believe that to have a prophetic voice, to speak to the nation, to speak to the communities, to bring life and the true meaning of Jesus Christ into hearts and lives of people. I'd like to close here, and you want to take a word? Okay. I want to pray, but before I pray, if you think that God has spoken to you and you're not going to settle for what you have been settling for before, I just want you to take your right hand and put it on your heart, all right? Because we need transformation that comes from the heart, not from the head. Nothing that I said means anything, but it must be your heart. And if you say, yes, I don't want the life that I've been living. There's more to it. Yeah, maybe it was been good living the past life, but there's more. I want a transformational life that where I go, what I do, God is going to make a difference. It's not you, but God through you will make a difference because you have recognized your place, your role, and your position in Him. Will you do that? Father, I just thank you for every person who has acknowledged you and have asked of you. And you will never refuse because your word says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and you will find. Lord, thank you that this afternoon there's so many hearts and lives who was not satisfied with the mundane and what they have. They want more, Lord. They're hungering for you. They're thirsting for you. There's young lives before us. And many of us here, Lord, we need you, Lord. Give us that hunger and the thirst and the passion for you that we may experience you afresh today and not live today, every day of our lives, Lord. We bless you. Thank you for my brother, too, and for Marie, for the fellowship here, for the leaders and all those who serve here. May they be a people who are to be reckoned with because they have the kingdom of God. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people say? Come on, you can do better than that. And all God's people say? Amen. That's right.
That's so good. So as I say, Bapak Imban, Bapak means father. And he was actually a father in the Anglican denomination. So that's why he's a Bapak. But Bapak Imban would acknowledge without Christ, he can do nothing. So we're going to, as we finish off, Christ is waiting for us. So we're going to enter in the time of worship where we just focus on Lord Jesus Christ. And let us draw near to hear what the Spirit is saying, and then we'll break into communion, and I'll ask Papa Imban to hang around for those who want some prayer. I actually might do something with you, Imban, at the end. You know where the toilet is? Oh, you need water? Can someone get water for Imban? So, would you just let me pray? Would you get up with me? So, Father, we lay our life before you as we worship. As we worship, we lay our bodies in your hands and say, this earthen vessel is yours. As Imban said so clearly, he is young, 71-year-old. There's no retirement. He's just still going strong. Would you put a fire back in our belly, full of faith, so that even if we are coward, but if you're called, we will just take that boldness and courage and go. So would you let us worship you now in a way that is sweet and pleasing to you?